John chapter 14, we find the promise of the Holy Spirit coming. Let's pick it up in verse 5. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" And Jesus says, "I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life." As I was praying this week, I felt like the Lord spoke to me. And I had a situation that I was praying about, and I didn't even know how to pray about the situation. And I was telling the Lord, "Lord, this one I'm praying for, I don't even know where to start, Heavenly Father. I have no idea if we were sitting down at a table and we were having a discussion about this, I know the situation needs to change. And I know all the wonderful things you can do. But I have no idea where you would even start. I don't even know how to pray. All I know is this is wrong and it's bad and it's nothing but pain. And I know that you have a wonderful way of coming in and changing everything. And this needs to be changed big time." And the Lord reminded me of these words of Jesus. He says, "I am the way." And I felt like he said to me, it's like, "I know how to work situations out. I know how to help messed up people find the right way. I am the way. I know how to deal with people that are in up to their eyeballs. I know how to help them. I know how to help people that are in the miry clay." And you say, "They're never getting out of the miry clay. I know how to get them out." One time when I was a teenager, I had a dirt bike. I had a couple of them, and I used to ride them all the time. And the world was a different place back then. I used to come home from school, says, "Hi, Mom, love you, be back." And she goes, "Make sure you're home by supper time." "Well, what time's supper time going to be?" "Oh, 6. I said, "All right, bye." And I'd leave. And there was railroad tracks near my house, and where they took the tracks up, you just had dirt roads, and I would just disappear. I would be sometimes, I think, I'd be as far as 20 miles away from my house. And there was no cell phones. And, you know, my mom just trusted that either I'd get home or I would find some house and use a phone and call to get home. I'd just be gone. And I remember one time I just had this wild idea that I was going to take my dirt bike and I was going to go shooting across the mud flats down by the ocean, like where they dig clams. And so it's pretty cool. I take off and I, you know, just goose that thing. It's just mud just everywhere. And I was just flying across those things until I got in an area where I stopped for a little bit. And all of a sudden, my bike just sunk down in. And my back tire was probably in 8 inches deep. And my front tire was down about 6 inches. And I couldn't go forward. I was just, and the more it spun, the more it went down. So I took my feet off the pedals, and I put my foot in the mud. And I put my hand under the seat to pull the bike up. And as I did, my foot went down deeper and deeper into that mud on the flat. I'm like, "Oh, this isn't good." And so I tried to put my pressure on my other foot and pulled in another place, and it went down deeper and deeper. And I'm like, "Holy cow, I can't even move. I am up halfway up my shins in this mud." I try pulling my foot up, and like my boot is coming off. And it's like, and I can't pull this one, and I can't move the bike. I'm like, I got to be able to do something. So I'm like, I'm trying sitting back now. And I'm going, why don't I try pulling the bike sideways, and I get it up. But there was like this suction in the mud. And as I pulled, all that happened is I was just pulling myself down in the mud. I literally ended up leaving the bike there and getting myself back and crawling along the surface till I got out of the mud flat. Now, I'm on the side, and I'm covered in this thick mud. And it's this gross stuff that the people dig clams in. And I'm looking at my dirt bike, and I'm like, there's literally nothing I can do. Well, I knew at that time in life that my father knew most things, and he'd have the answer. So I walked home, long walk, and I get home. My father's like, what happened to you? And I explained the situation to me, and he had me clean my... He didn't have me clean my... He just put me in the back of the truck. And we went down. He got as close as he could get with a pickup truck. And then we ran a chain down. He told me where to put it around that thing and then hooked the chain to the back of the pickup truck. And little by little, with the pickup truck pulling that long chain, we managed to get that thing pulled out of the muck. And then we brought it home. And then he had me get way away from the house, way down by the woods, drag the hose out there, because it took a lot of spraying because that muck had gotten into everything. And my father knew how to get the thing out of the muck. And my heavenly father knows how to get people out of the muck, too. And you can see people. It's not hard to find people that are a complete mess. And you go, I don't even know where to start. One of the last times I was in the city, I saw this big guy, really big guy. I mean, he was bigger than me with big old shoulders. And his head leaned back and he turned the lights off. And I didn't think a thing until he turned around. And I saw he had false eyelashes on and makeup on. And the shirt that he had on was like a woman's shirt. And I'm like, here's a guy who looks like he belongs in the NFL, dressing up like a woman. And someone in the room made a comment to him that was disparaging. And he turned around and had the nastiest look on his face. And in his falsetto voice, with a lisp, he started screaming and yelling at them. And it turned really ugly, and then he marched out of the room. And I was, as I was watching the whole thing, I'm like, here's a guy who is a mess. Here's a guy who's probably had a lot of deep issues for a long, long time. This is a guy who I'm not going to be able to walk up and... He isn't going to be willing to listen to one word come out of my mouth. And like you just think, dear God, where do you start? And I'll tell you, I don't know the answer where to start, but I know the one who is the way. He knows how to help people that are going through things like that. It seems like on a weekly basis, I find myself crossing paths with people that have made a mess of their families. What do you tell the guy who's been married for 25 years, but then decides that he wants to mess around with some woman he met at the gym? They became friends on social media. She started commenting on his pictures. He started commenting on her pictures. They started chatting on the side. He never said anything to his wife about it. Now they got this full-blown relationship going. His wife has found out about it, and now she's kicked him out. And now that he's kicked out, the one at the gym's like, oh, I want to back out of this thing too. And all in one fell swoop, he went from having a marriage and a life, and now it's kind of all been pulled out, and it's like, what do you do? I know the one who is the way. And the Lord Jesus Christ knows how to help people right where they're at. And being connected to him, it doesn't mean you're going to get whammo. Here's all the answers. Boom. Just do step 1, 2, 3 and you're out. No. You are now connected to him, sort of like that chain was connected to that motorcycle. You're connected to him. And he is going to guide you. Take this next step here. Okay, Lord. Now I want you to take this next step here. Okay, Lord. And does God make all these problems go away? No. If you've made a big mess of things, you're going to get stuck dealing with that. But you know what? He's going to help you learn from it. He's going to help you grow through the whole thing. You know, there's ways that he might help you that you may end up looking back on that time and saying, you know, that time was actually good because God helped me to grow. God taught me new things. That's why James says we should consider it pure joy when we face trials. Because God uses those things, not to rip our lives apart, but to help us to grow, to become more. The writer of the book of Hebrews says we should look at any difficulty and setback we face in life as if God himself were disciplining us. And a father that loves his children is a father that disciplines his children. He says, if he didn't love you, he wouldn't discipline you. He would leave you just the way you are and wouldn't say anything. And I wish I could say it wasn't true, but I have seen cases of fathers that did not love their children. And they just have no time for their problems and no time for their drama. They're busy with something else in life, and they don't have any time for those kids. And the kids know they're not loved. Because a loving father is not going to stand around and watch a kid do stupid things. They're going to come alongside them, and they're going to help them to learn from it. I very much am enjoying having a Chris Camp as a son-in-law. And he's got some of these stories of, you know, of being a very he was like Dennis the Menace. And there was times when Dennis the Menace got in trouble for getting in the bird cage at Grandma's house. There was times when Dennis the Menace got in trouble at home. And I'll tell you what, Dennis the Menace had a grandma who could swat hands. And Dennis the Menace had a dad who knew that he had to come up with these really big, awful jobs. Because he figured that if Chris, his punishment was having to do that big, awful job, those hours spent doing that job, he'd be thinking about what he did, and he would learn. And Chris would say, you know, at the time, he goes, I didn't like some of these things, but I look back on them now, and I think they were good. And in the same way, our Heavenly Father, sometimes he allows us to go through difficulties because he loves us. Do they stink? Yes. But are there lessons to be learned in them? Absolutely. And, you know, you can miss out on those lessons by either having a closed heart or by living in denial. We had a student at our school one time that had a problem with cheating. And we dealt with it a couple times, and finally we brought the parents in and we said, hey, we're lucky we get these cameras around the place. We can, you know, here's a camera of your child cheating. And a parent went in, they just said, I can't believe you call yourself a Christian place calling my child a cheater. My child isn't a cheater. I'm pulling him out of this school. The kid has a smirk on their face. It's like, I feel terrible because that meeting in the principal's office could have been a great growth experience for the young person. They needed to get in trouble. There's lessons to be learned in that. Again, he's the way. He is the way to get your life straightened around. He is the way to God the Father. He is the way to finding a life that's worth living. He is a way to find contentment. Jesus is the way. Next step, Jesus is the truth. He's one you can count on. I tell you, one thing that drives me nuts in the day and age we live in is we are so good at taking pictures and making movies, and we can edit those things to make things look very different than they are. That's why a lot of our police departments now, they have body cams. So it's like we actually have proof. Because before, if you could get a group of people on the side saying, well, you know, this is what the officer did, before you know it, you got a whole mob that's angry. But we got these body cams, and often we see that, hey, what the crowd says is not what really was going on, because look, here's the video. You can see what's going on. Sometimes the videos can be produced, though, and edited to make them look like something that they're not. And we have that actor that we've been reading about in the news that hired a couple of other actors to kind of act like something was going on, which really wasn't, hoping to make some kind of point, some political point. Let's just be honest. They were all involved in a lie. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes when it comes to political things, I think, is there anybody telling the truth? Well, let me tell you what. Jesus is the way. He is the truth. There's not going to be some point where all of a sudden you wake up and you go, hey, this was all a lie. What will happen is the longer you serve him, the sweeter you will find him to be. You will take his words and you will put them into practice. And as you get down the road, you get a little older, you're going to look back and you go, that was the smartest thing I ever did. Trusting him, trusting his word, that is the smartest thing I ever did. Oh, God, thank you for helping me make a good decision there. And lastly, he is the life. He has come to give us life, real life. And I know Real Life Christian Church has stole that title, but they stole a good one. You know, let me tell you a little history of Claremont story. First Christian Church of Claremont turned into Real Life. And what was the name of it? The church that's called Liberty Baptist Church used to be called True Life. And it changed its name to True Life the same time as Real Life changed their name to Real Life. And I remember going to a minister's meeting right after those two had just changed their lives. Wait a minute, changed their names. And Real Life was pretty proud of their name, and True Life was pretty proud of their name. And I remember sitting there and looking at those pastors because there was a little bit of frustration because this group felt like they had just chosen the best church name, and this group felt like they had just chosen the best church name. It's the voice of an angel. Hold on, I'm almost done. For you people who are like, oh, is he going to preach forever? I'm at the end. But the truth is that he is the life. And walking with him is the best thing in the world. It's the best. I'll tell you what, I've been walking with him for many years. And I tell you what, I really am a Jesus guy. I love him and I love serving him. And I tell you, every night as I lay down on that bed, I think of myself, I'm like, dear God, I got a wonderful bed to lay in, and I'm so happy. And it's clean because you gave me a wife who's really good about keeping things clean. And I reach my hand over, and I hold hers, and I'm like, I'm so lucky in the world that I got this nice wife to be married to. And I got this nice dog laying on the floor. And I've got kids that love me and have a great relationship with me. And it's like, God, you brought so much good into my life. And I thank you for my church. I love coming into the place, and I love seeing these people's faces, and I love being with them. It's special, and I feel your presence. And it's like God's like that. He blesses the things that are in our lives, and he helps us to find a life. And you know, there's going to come a point where I get to the end of my life, and I'm going to say, Lord, it's been good. And the Lord's going to say, you finished the job. And I'm going to say, that's okay. That's okay, because it's just been good. Every day, you know, the longer we serve him, the sweeter he grows. Isn't that true? He's the way, he's the truth, he's the life, and he wants to be in fellowship with us on a personal basis. I think that's a good place to close, don't you? Let me pray for you. Father in heaven, bless these people. I don't know what this week is going to hold for them, but I just pray, Lord, that it would be a week just where they feel so close to you. Guide them and keep them. May your Holy Spirit just speak to them, bless their families, keep them safe. Help us to be real godly. Our world needs godly people, and help us to be godly people. And thank you for being here in this service. We pray these things in Jesus' name.